This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Better duo in Minnesota. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs. Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson.
Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson.
That's a forfeit. I don't care how important the game is and what playoff implications it have on it. That's irresponsible on their behalf.
I should be the rookie of the year.
Oh, mama, I can hear her crying and you're so scared and all alone. Doo-doo.
Yo, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Man, the name says it all. But if you like what you hear, make sure you download and subscribe. Listen, make sure you subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating. We've been getting a lot of positive reviews from our listeners and our viewers, but make sure you personally reach out to us and let us know how you feel by leaving us a 5-star rating. You also can watch us on YouTube. Just visit youtube.com/allthingscovered and make sure you leave that rating, like I said, 5 stars. No fours, no threes, no twos, no ones. Only fives. But Pat, man, I heard we got a real good episode. What we gonna cover on this episode?
Well, Mac, we gonna be talking to one of my favorite guys in the world. I've been watching this kid since he was 11 years old, a rookie standout. Justin Jefferson will join us on the podcast today. We also gonna catch up on our loss against the Patriots. We got to catch up around the league with the COVID. And we also got to talk a little bit about this weekend boxing.
It was a boxing match this weekend?
It was like 3 of them. Matter of fact, it was 4. And one of them didn't turn out too well.
Stay tuned. Yo, what's happening? It's the first quarter of our show. And if you guys have been following our show, it's Chopping It Up. And in Chopping It Up, we take you down memory lane or share fun, cool stories with you guys throughout our professional career or just throughout our life. We just had Thanksgiving turkey. We have a lot to be thankful for. And with that being said, we would like to share some traditions that we love to see happen, either daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly, but traditions that we look forward to seeing. Me personally, I have a cool tradition I like to share with you guys. But Pat, before I get the baton from you, please share with us one of your favorite football traditions.
Of any time, you said?
Anytime. It can be as a child. It can be as a teenager, as an adult. But one of your favorite all-time football traditions.
I probably have to say when I was growing up, we used to always go up to my auntie Bridget house. She lived up in Orlando. And you know, from Florida, that's like you've been from Florida, been from South Florida, that's like a 2.5-hour drive, depending on how you're driving. I got older enough, I was getting there in about 2.5. But we won't discuss the speed. But going up there every year for Thanksgiving, I kind of look forward to that. She had a son, his name is Keith, who's also getting, shout out to Keith Pickett. He getting married here next March, if I'm not mistaken. And I got the honor to be in that wedding. But we used to travel up there every year up until I got into college. And our tradition, him and I, we used to always play one-on-one basketball. He always thought he was better than me. You know, he's very, very competitive. My man Keith is very, very competitive. He's only a year younger than me, but we used to always play basketball and he always wanted to be Shaq. And of course, Kobe being my guy. So that was always like, you know, our thing every single year. Everybody, after we done eating, everybody, you know, watch a little football, this, that, and another. But when it's time for the one-on-one matchup, we had obviously my mom out there, our grandparents, his mom and dad out there.
Everybody was watching you.
Everybody's watching. So it was like the main event after football and after we ate our turkey or whatever. But that was one of the things I always look forward to because, like me, being in the football, you know, arena at that age growing up, you know, traveling and stuff like that. So I kind of took it personal. I used to have like a little a bag, and obviously, you know, we had to drive up there. So I actually took it as if it was a travel game for me. You know, so that was one of the things I always look forward to growing up around this time because we used to always go up there. to my auntie's house in Orlando, Florida, and me and Keith used to always duke it out on the one-on-one basketball match.
So who came out on the winning end?
I did every year. Kobe.
Oh, you beat him every. Okay, thank you. Keith didn't get one victory.
Yeah, he did. We used to do. What we used to do was I used to beat him so bad, like on that one game. He used to always wanted to play more. So I said, you know what? We're going to do it as a series. Around when we got around like 12 years old, I was like, the best out of three. Best out of three, I obviously, lose, ain't no more. We going to, because at one point, we literally used to be out there all night. He didn't want to stop playing until he got a victory. So I was like, you know what? We're going to squash this. Best of three. If you can't win best of three, it's over until next year. And that's when we settled this. But I was definitely, I won every single series.
That's what's up. So your tradition, you know, happened while you were a child. My tradition, I became a part of as an adult, as a professional. So I get drafted to Pittsburgh, and my rookie year, something that I started to really understand with Pittsburgh and Heinz Field, playing in Heinz Field, there was a common tradition that we would expect, especially if it was a big ball game. And that tradition was listening to a rock band called Styx. So Styx, I don't know if you ever heard of Styx before, Pat. You heard of Styx before?
No.
Me neither. I never heard of Styx before until I got drafted into Pittsburgh, but I really respect Styx, and they show us a lot of love. Listeners, viewers, listen to Styx. Great rock band. It gets you going. But their song they used to play in Heinz Field was Renegade. And the thing about Renegade, Pat, they will only play, our PA individual only played in the stadium when the defense is on the football field. It could be in the third quarter, fourth quarter. It's a tight, close ball game, and they cut all the lights off in the stadium. So we're on the field, right? It's a TV timeout. It's a TV timeout. So we're on the field in the huddle, and instantly it goes like kind of dark in the stadium. And then we hear, oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arms of the law. Doom, 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 doom. Lawman has put an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home. Doom, 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 doom. Oh, mama, I can hear her crying, and you're so scared and all alone. Doom, doom. Hangman is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long. And then hit you with it, and then just go rocking. Bro, listen, I tried my best to give you a sample of what it feel like in Heinz Field. I might have failed. If I did, please forgive me. I tried with all my heart and soul. But listen, when you hit it in Heinz Field, I don't care what the situation is. I don't care who we're playing against. Somebody's getting hit in the jaw. Somebody's going to get hit dead in the jaw. It could be legally or illegally. It doesn't matter. Somebody's getting hit in the jaw. So my rookie year, when we went on our playoff run and they played that Styx, I instantly became part of X-Men. I felt like I can do whatever I want to do. I can float. I can run through a wall. I can jump off the tallest building and hit my feet and be good. I can run through a truck. It didn't matter. Right. It gave us superpowers. Mm-hmm. And the fans would be rocking with us, man. Listen, I seen so many people get their eye black from that song, from the opposing offense, and I huddle, we rocking. So that tradition for me, even to this day, I don't get a chance to hear it as much because, like I said, they usually play it during a TV timeout. Mm-hmm. But when they play that, man, something good is going to happen. Guys, listeners, viewers, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to YouTube, type in Styx Renegade Pittsburgh Steelers. You get a glimpse of what I'm talking about. Embrace yourself, because you would never be the same after you listen and see that.
I'm gonna go listen to it. I'm gonna go check it out.
You might need to put that in your playlist too, Pat, because I'm trying to tell you, man. That thing used to do something to me.
Oh man, yeah, I gotta check that out.
Styx, Renegade. Shout out to Styx, Renegade. Oh mama. Boy, I got fired up just then. I just got fired up. Now, listeners, it's time for Cardinals Check-In. Here's where we get an opportunity to recap the most recent ball game with the Arizona Cardinals. That ball game was against the New England Patriots in New England, a 1 p.m. kickoff, a very, very important ball game for the Cardinals. Unfortunately, it was a very close game for four quarters. The Cardinals came up on the losing end of the stick, missed a field goal towards the end of the fourth quarter that led to a field goal attempt from the New England Patriots. They were able to capitalize on that ball game, man. But before the ball game kicked off, Pat, national news came from your organization. Future Hall of Famer Larry Fitzgerald, it was publicized that he tested positive for COVID-19. Mm-hmm. When you guys heard that news, you know, did the course of your preparation change, you know, getting ready to travel to New England and not knowing if anybody else could be considered close contact with Fitzgerald? Because he practiced with you guys the entire week, correct?
No, he didn't.
Oh, he didn't.
I think Larry had, he did. So I believe the test came back positive on Thursday morning. So he didn't practice with us Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
And obviously the rest of the week because we left on Friday. I think it definitely impacted, you know, our game plan on some of the things that we wanted to do, because we know how valuable Larry is in that slot position as far as catching the ball and also involved in a run game. So, you know, Larry is one of those receivers that always been, you know, one of those tough nitty gritty receivers that can dig out those DNs, crack block on those outside backers, especially when guys have, you know, size, on their side, on the defensive side of the ball. So I think definitely missing him was, very, very vital until our loss on Sunday. But at the end of the day, you know, we're not the only team going through that. You know, we have to find a way to roll with the punches. And, you know, my message to the team was, you know, all week was, you know, we got to find a way to get this one for 11. You know, we know the preparation that he puts in, how much he cares about us. And, we know he's going to be watching. So, you know, who's ever in his position, you know, don't let him down. You know, that was my message to the guys going in. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have to make sure that we're prepared for that, because at the same time, you don't know when it's going to happen. You
yep.
really don't, because that was one of my least concerns, that, you know, Larry would get freaking COVID. And I know he's, you know, always by himself. You know, if he's not by himself, he's with his kids, you know, so I know he definitely wasn't irresponsible. It was just one of those things that happened. And I believe it hurt us into preparing into our normal offense. You know, you can just tell we didn't do a lot of things that we would have done if Larry was in the lineup. So we definitely had to do a lot of tailor making to the game plan. But, you know, at the same time, we're not the only one that have to go through that problem.
20-17 loss, like I mentioned a little earlier. Man, when I look at the numbers, Pat, man, I've seen games like this before. I've been a part of games like this where offensively the team that beats you didn't do anything. Mm. Cam Newton had his numbers, 9 of 18 for 84 yards, 2 interceptions, 9 rushes for 46 yards. The Cardinals had 121 more total yards than the Patriots. What was the biggest thing that led to the loss?
Just think situational football. You know, that's as a team, that's where we have to take that next step, because that's where, you know, at this point of the season, that's where games are lost and won. You have to be a very, very sound situational football team, because at the end of the day, when you don't execute in those situational periods of the game, nine times out of 10, it comes back and bite you. And, you know, we didn't get the points at the inch yard line before halftime, and it can go anywhere. I love the aggressive call by coach, obviously. You know, we got all the way down there, and as a defensive player, I can respect that going forward there, you know. So, but for the most part, I just think as a team, if we want to take that next step, we have to get better at situational football. We have to get better in 2 men and one. We have to get better at, you know, end of the game situation. We, you know, that's just some of the things that's going to have to happen if we want to get into this postseason, you know, because, you know, we talk about all the time. I've been on a bunch of different teams to where, you know, we had opportunities to be in the playoffs. We put ourselves in position to be in the playoffs, but we also played ourselves out of that position.
Yeah.
So that's my message to my teammate is, like, now November, December football, you heard it before, it's different. It's playoff football every single game. I don't care who you're playing, AFC, NFC, it's literally any given Sunday. So, I know we will get better this week, because we got better this week at his previous game at situational football. We just wasn't able to execute far as getting the points or making the field goal or things like that. So, and all that is that's to a man, you know, we have to do a better job, you know, as a team, as a whole, on making sure that we hit our pitch when it comes.
Yeah, and, you know, situational football is very, very important. Listeners and viewers, I know you guys hear us talk about it all the time, but that is where games are won and lost, you know, in situational periods, and you got to be able to capitalize on that. Talking about, you know, being able to capitalize, watching the game, you know, from afar, you were a part of the ball game. You were a part of the entire prep leading up to the Patriots game. Watching Kyler Murray, man, it seems like he, I don't want to, you know, say he's not healthy, but it seems like something is bothering him compared to the Kyler Murray we saw weeks ago. You know, since that hit against Seattle, he's not moving around and being explosive like he was before. This past Sunday, you know, 22 of 34, 170 yards, one interception, five rushes for 31 yards. Is he fully healthy?
You know, seeing him, you know, prepare, he looks the same to me. You know, he's been out there each and every day throwing a ball. I haven't seen guys like you, for the most part. Like, I've been around Carson. I've been around Sam Bradford's a little bit a different situation, but those guys like never really worked on Wednesdays or like once Carson last year came, he literally only practiced like on Fridays. So I see Kyle out there each and every day working, throwing, you know, obviously with him being a quarterback, you always have to get maintenance on your shoulder because, you know, that's one of the things that you're using a lot throughout the day, you know. Probably on average throughout the week, he's probably getting about 100 throws, you know, and that could be a lot on the shoulder, you know. So for the most part, he looks healthy to me. I think he's just taking what the defense is giving him. I believe the Patriots did a great job of containing him, having a spy on him. You know, for the most part, you know, I don't want to give away, you know, our game plan, but the three teams that we lost to are all Bill Parcells' disciples, you know what I mean? So, those guys, you know, and what they have in common is that, you know, they have big bruiser defensive linemen. So they didn't hit us with any exotic blitzes. I mean, they ran a lot of zero against us, but for the most part, they were just bullying our offensive line. And that's a technique. So that's not a down for the viewers, for the listeners. That's a technique that the defensive lineman is using. They call that a bull technique. And all they're doing is just literally rushing straight back and trying to push the pocket and collapse the pocket. And then they had spies on the outside of them. So it was very tough for him to get elusive. Cause every time you look at it, when he was rolling out doing the play action, it was somebody either forcing him up into the pocket or the pocket was forcing him to roll out. And you had a guy in his face every single time. So. I believe New England had a great game plan against them and that they do every week. You know, New England, although their record is what, 5-6, I believe, it's not one game that was lost by, you know, 7 or more points. You know, they were in every single game. And when you watch the film, the games that they lost, they always have the ball at the end of the game, either to win it or to take it into overtime. So, New England is a very, very well prepared football team week in and week out. I don't care who they have on the field. Bill Belichick does a great job of not only game planning, but he does a great job of taking away what you do well.
I'm looking forward to this upcoming week. No in-person activities. You know, the NFL, they're mandating, that there will be no in-person activities Monday and Tuesday. How does this impact your week of preparation?
Man, it's going to be honestly, with the new schedule, we're already off on Mondays. So the only thing that's going to change is that we don't get a workout in.
You can't go to the facility to get, what about treatment? You can't go get any treatment or anything like that also, right?
So you can still go get treatment if you're on the injury report. You know, you still, the training room is still open, I believe, you know, for a couple hours throughout the day. But on Tuesdays, like literally getting the game plans. So it's all meetings anyway. So I don't think it's going to hinder us in a sense of getting back into the groove because we really don't do anything Monday or Tuesday anyway. So Tuesday, Wednesday is like our first real preparation day as far as getting out on the grass, getting out and actually seeing what's going on versus hearing the game plan. So I think it's going to be great for us. Honestly, I don't see a problem with it so far. We'll have to wait and see what happens after this week, but you know, it's just going to come down to making sure that your young guys are being pros, being professionals, are still tuned into the game plan, still watching film on their own, because that's what it's going to come down to now, since, you know, it's mandatory that we can't come in for those 2 days, you know, previously. So, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you, since you're not supposed to go to the facility unless you're on the injury report, how do you get tested?
So that's the only time you can go. So you either go get tested or you're going to get, so the testing center is not even a part of the building, you know, it's a whole nother, you know, trailer, you know.
Oh, so you get tested. You don't even go to the facility. Okay, gotcha.
Exactly. Yeah, you go get tested in the trailer in the back of the facility, and you go home, or you go into the training room to get your treatment, then you go home.
Okay. Okay. I didn't know that. All right. Yeah. So regardless, you're going to get tested every day until the ball game. Yeah.
You're getting tested every day.
6 days a week. Only days you don't get tested is on game day. Correct.
You get tested on game day too. Every day.
You get tested on game day too?
Every day.
Wow. Wow. I wonder what that testing bill look like from the NFL?
Hey, they got it.
No, yeah, they definitely got it. They definitely got it. So, you know, looking ahead for this upcoming ball game, man, this is another big opportunity for the Arizona Cardinals. The bad part about this past weekend, Pat, you guys lost. Mm-hmm. The good part about this past weekend, the Rams lost also. The Rams lost also. And you guys will face off against each other. You know, playoff implications will be on the line. Both teams are, you know, fighting not just for a playoff spot. You're still fighting for your division crown as well. So this is a huge game. What challenges when you look at the Rams and their offense led by Jared Goff, who didn't have a good outing this past week against San Francisco, but we know he's a guy that can bounce back with ease, especially with Sean McVay as his play caller. Well, you know, they got two football players that play wide receiver for them, and Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. I mean, two outstanding guys. I really respect their ball game. But what type of challenges can those two guys, you know, provide for your defense?
Well, I mean, both of those guys are definitely outstanding receivers. Have the opportunity to go up against those guys now. This will probably be my.
Yeah, you played against them guys a lot.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. So Cooper, this is Cooper's fourth year in the league?
I think this is his fourth year.
Yeah, so this would be my seventh time going up against these guys, and
yeah,
they're very, very. In my opinion, they remind me a lot of you know, back in the day, the Golden Tate and Doug Baldwin in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
You know, those guys was definitely, you know, underrated, you know, not the typical size receiver, but they got things done, you know, and I believe these guys remind me of those two guys, very, very underrated, but have done nothing but tremendous things in this league ever since they got together. You know, they're definitely one of the better duos in the league right now, you know, just being able to sit back and watch the things that they're able to do. And not only that, how Sean McVay is able to get, you know, all of his guys involved. You know, it's just not like, just like who they played Tampa on Monday night. I didn't see the last game. When they played the 49ers, but
Tampa was before that.
Yeah, they played Tampa on Monday night. I was just so intrigued on, you know, how Sean is able to orchestrate the offense and keep everybody happy. And that's tough to do. And they both have 100 yards.
Yep.
Running back had over 80 yards. Tight end had over like 60 yards, you know, so. They do a great job of distributing the ball to their guys, and you just have to be ready for everything with them. With Robert, you know, he's a guy that loves to run those pick routes, those drags. You know, he loves running into traffic, but he also a guy that can take the top off the defense. You can see him go deep every once in a while. And Cooper is like the nails of the bunch. You know, he's a guy that, you know, that's going across the middle, running those digs, running those glands. To where if he does catch and the receiver put a lick on him, he can bounce off that tap. He can break tap. It's definitely a pleasure to watch those guys when we're not playing against them. So it's going to be another fun matchup this Sunday. Like you said, playoff implications are definitely on the line. We got to start taking advantage of situations like this because, you know, although we lost that game, we shouldn't have lost that game Sunday. I know everybody says the same thing each and every week, but we definitely, looking at the stat line and looking how well we played on defense, I mean, there's no way we should have lost against the Patriots last week, but we did, you know, so now, you know we have another great challenge in front of us with the Los Angeles Rams because we know this is a very, very potent team. You know, have all pros all over that roster. So we got our hands full, but we have to make sure that we come out on fire and being able to maintain that fire to hopefully get a W or something.
Now it's time for Around the League. This segment is a segment where we get an opportunity to talk about other things that are happening outside of the Cardinals organization. There's been a lot of news, COVID-related news, throughout the National Football League. The big story coming from the NFL, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. It was set up to be one of the biggest games on the Thursday slate of NFL games this past Thanksgiving Day. Game got postponed. Got delayed to Sunday because of a COVID outbreak within the Baltimore Ravens organization. Now, the Steelers had a few positive tests as well. James Conner tested positive. He was ruled out for this upcoming matchup. But the game didn't happen on Sunday. Then they decided to postpone it till Tuesday night. Was supposed to happen Tuesday night. Now we just got word that the game will be played Wednesday night, allegedly. But Baltimore seems to be still getting, you know, coming out with positive tests. I think they have 19 players that are currently positive right now. And they're saying it will be 3:40 p.m. Wednesday. So it's a weird kickoff time for this ball game on a weird day, but they're trying to do everything in their power to get that done. And I think they will move another game to Monday. So it potentially could have three NFL games next Monday, right? So you could potentially have three NFL games this upcoming Monday because of the postponement of games that just happened. But there are a lot of bad vibes coming from Pittsburgh with frustration being involved. Seeing what happened, you know, throughout the NFL so far when it comes to COVID issues, you know, should the Steelers feel some type of way, Pat, because the game got postponed from Thursday to Sunday to Tuesday to Wednesday? Should they feel some type of way, you think?
No doubt about it.
And why is that?
Because that just goes to show you got guys not being responsible. Like, why the Pittsburgh Steelers should get penalized because they're doing everything that they needed to do, you know, to make sure that they're safe. Everybody's following the protocol. But to have 18 guys have COVID, that's just like, come on. I mean, somebody's not doing what they're supposed to do. So I think, and this might come back and bite me in the butt, but I think what the league should do is we can't, obviously, they rescheduled the game, what, three times already, right?
Yep.
Because you keep getting more and more COVID cases. That's a forfeit. I don't care how important the game is and what playoff implications it have on it. That's irresponsible on their behalf. So why they already had one game taken away from earlier this year. It was with Titans, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, what happened with the Titans was they stripped the Steelers from their bye week. So the Steelers don't have a bye week.
Right.
And that was because the Titans had an outbreak. They had nothing to do with Pittsburgh, so they took their bye week away from them.
That's what I'm saying.
To be able to get that game played.
Right. So that's both of these situations have nothing to do with Pittsburgh, but they're still getting penalized from it. So
what
they have to do, if you have over 10 players that's on like that one time that get calls for, you know, COVID or whatever, now you got to do more research and see if that team is following protocol. Because to me, I think it's almost impossible. I won't say it's impossible, but it's almost unheard of having 18 guys having COVID.
19.
If 19, if everybody was doing what they're supposed to do, wearing their masks, staying 6 feet apart from each other, we wouldn't have this problem.
But the thing is with that situation, Pat, the outbreak didn't initially start from a player. From what I heard was an individual associated with the team, like a staff member or someone that's associated with the team. They didn't say if it was a coach, an assistant, or whatever the title, whatever their title was. But that's the person that actually had symptoms.
They said the strength coach.
The strength coach. Okay, there you have it. The strength coach is the reason for this potential outbreak that they're dealing with. Now, he's not a player, but he's associated with the organization. And they're all tied together. And that has to be something that, you know, they should be punished for, because if you're feeling some type of way, I'm pretty sure they have given you guys ultimate rules to follow, guidelines. If you feel some type of way, instantly let someone know so they can jump on that situation. He decided to not let anyone know, and he showed up to the facility, and now it's a whole outbreak going on in Baltimore. So it's not right. But one thing I can say, and I think this leads to why we have yet to see a cancellation of a game, is because of the bottom line. Yes, there are no fans in most of the NFL stadiums in the National Football League. And some stadiums have a few fans, right? 25% capacity, whatever the case may be.
Right.
But there's still money to be made.
You're
there's
right.
still money to be made. So they're going to do everything in their power to make sure these games are being played. And also, the NFL, they do not want to come under fire. And what I mean when I say that, Pat P, listeners and viewers, is because you see how they continue to push this game back. I don't think the game's going to be played on Wednesday, because if they just had a positive test today, there's a good chance they might have a positive test Tuesday. Cause like you said, Pat P, you get tested every day, right?
Every day.
So if you continue to have at least one or two positive tests, how can you play a ball game on Wednesday? So they continue to try to push this game back, but they're trying to play this game because you know why? They just made the Denver Broncos play a game this past Sunday with no legit quarterback.
Right.
No legit quarterback. Granted, they did not have the same amount of positive tests that the Baltimore Ravens currently have, but their entire quarterback room was wiped out. There's no way in the world they could have won that ball game. I don't care what you say, how optimistic you are. You cannot win a ball game with a legit serviceable quarterback against a team like the New Orleans Saints. There's no way possible, but they made the Broncos play. Early in the year, we talked about Tennessee. Tennessee had an outbreak. They stripped the Steelers of their bye week just to make sure Tennessee played their game. And Tennessee played the game, didn't even have normal practice time. So what the NFL is trying to do, they don't want to cancel this game, because if they cancel this game, they're going to receive so much black backlash, because you made the Broncos play with no quarterbacks. You made Tennessee play with no practice time. How is that fair? It's not.
It's not fair. But at the same time, if you have an 18 people, right? So I know they gave us, I think if they don't cancel the game, I agree. They should play no matter.
If you make Tennessee play, if you make Denver play, they got to play also.
And I agree. So they gave us 16 more men on the practice squad. So you elevate them. If that's what, you know, the case may be, you have to find a way to make this right, because Pittsburgh can't keep continuing getting penalized off of somebody else's mistake.
No question. And talked about the Denver Broncos. Kendall Hilton had to be the quarterback for Denver this past Sunday against New Orleans Saints, man. And they lost 31-3, luckily. But, you know, I tip my hat to him getting thrown in that fire. You know, it had to be a tough situation, but they were set up to fail. They had no opportunity to win that ball game. But Pat, let me ask you this question. Growing up and watching your football career, at one point in time, you used to be known to be pretty savvy with the ball as a quarterback. Let's say the unthinkable happened, and as a hypothetical, this happened to, you know, I don't want to say the Cardinals, but let's say a team you're associated with. Could you go in and play quarterback if need be as an emergency option?
Oh, Mac, man, listen, boy, if I ever got – I wish I was on the couch now and Denver would have called me up. I definitely would have been up under the gun.
You still got it? You think you still got it?
Yeah, I'm still whooping these quarterbacks in quarterback competition, man. And I know that obviously you got pressure and all that stuff coming at you, but I would definitely love to would have played the quarterback position.
Well, the quarterback competition, is that when y'all throw the football in the trash can?
Well, we upgraded it now. So we have like an actual net, and it's like almost about 7 feet tall, and it's like a trash can top, but it goes into a net on wheel. I think you guys see it with Aaron Rodgers every year. That little thing he throw helmet. Exactly. So that's what we have now for the quarterback challenge.
And you be involved in that weekly?
Every week. And now we do it with so everybody gets to throw in it now. So I throw against like the defensive players. Mm-hmm. It's so bad, Mac. I beat my guys so bad on the defensive side of the ball. They kicked me out of the group. They said I can't play with them no more. You only can throw with the quarterback speed. You can't throw with us.
So check this out. When y'all doing this quarterback competition, I know you're a competitive guy. Is there anything on the line? Do you guys bet any money, or is there any level of betting going on?
Well, you know, I haven't been much betting on it. It's just more like bragging rights now.
Okay.
It's more like you get like – so like me, Jordan, DC – who else? Oh, Isaiah. Who else would be in there? Hassan Reddick, Byron Murphy. It'll be about 7 of us. And we always get like the best of 3. And it's always like whoever made the best of this 3, now we on to another challenge. So it's just all about bragging rights for the most part.
Okay. Well, sure. We got to get some footage. I remember seeing when Carson was there, you guys were doing the quarterback challenge. I think the loser had to dress up on a road trip or something like that, right?
You had to dress up all the time. So if you
all lost, the time. Yeah.
Was a road trip or a home game, you had to have a costume on. And Carson, he did a great job of, because that was some of the things that he did in Cincinnati, him and his brother, you know, and because I remember him telling me in Cincinnati, I didn't know this. They used to have to ride the bus, like, to Pittsburgh. They rode the bus to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Because it's a short plane ride.
Man, okay, how short it is. We need to get on that plane.
Now,
man,
we will fly to Cincinnati. The only place we will bus to would be Cleveland. We'll bus to Cleveland. But Cincinnati, we always flew to Cincinnati.
I was like, no, man, we can't do that. But so that's where he came up with, the dressing up idea is when he was in Cincinnati is like, if you lost, I didn't want to have any money involved because everybody has money, but no one likes being humiliated. So that's why he thought the costumes would be great and bring a little camaraderie to the team, and that it did. And we had a great time doing it while he was here as our quarterback.
Oh, I love it. We had a lot of competition going in our locker room as well. Brings the guys together, like you said. In other news, in National Football League, Tampa Bay took another one on the chin. Tom Brady didn't have a good outing. Bounced back a little bit in the fourth quarter. Your former head coach, B.A., Bruce Arians, has been extremely critical of Tom Brady. Are you surprised with how critical he's been out in the public about his star quarterback and legend, the GOAT, that he's coaching currently in Tom Brady? Because I done seen B.A. cuss some of the greatest of greats out. But are you surprised with him being so critical on Tom Brady?
Not at all, man. Exactly. B.A. is definitely one of my all-time favorite coaches, man, because Coach gonna tell you how it is. You know, I think I said this about three episodes ago. Like, just coach, just give that tough love, no matter who it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why you can respect coach so much, because it don't matter what performance you put on, what your past may have been, or you know what you think you are. He's gonna tell you how it is, point blank. Period. My first time, this is when I knew he was real. When he came there, like our second practice, and he got on Larry, like you never seen a coach get on Larry.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, all right. Yeah, he said that as his first meeting, he was like, I don't give a damn who you are.
Man. Every word is a curse word out of his mouth.
Oh, yeah. I'm here to coach you, and I'm going to coach you hard.
He ever cussed you out before?
Nah, man. Thank God he didn't. The coach never cussed me out. But he did used to call us out like as a unit. And this is what coach told me this. He told me this in my face. He was like, you know why I'm on the DB so hard? Cause we couldn't do nothing. Like we couldn't, everything that we did was horrible. It wasn't right. But he said, the reason why I used to be on the DB so hard, cause at the time it was me, Gerard, Rashard Johnson.
All SEC guys, by the way.
Exactly. All SEC guys. So he was like, you know why I'm on y'all so hard and I call y'all out in practice and meetings? Because I know y'all gonna respond. I can't talk to everybody like that because it can go either way. But when I talk to y'all and have y'all in a specific message, I know y'all gonna wanna go out there and prove me right, or prove me wrong. Mm-hmm. So he said, that's why every time in team meetings or whatever, I'm on y'all ass like no other, because I know y'all gonna respond. And when y'all respond and when y'all play well, that's when it trickles through the team. And I was like, man, coach got a point. And when we saw it, we was like, yep, BA just being BA. You know, he's just trying to find a way to push our buttons. And he had a very, very good tactic of doing that week in and week out on trying to get the best out of his players.
I remember BA cussed me out one time my rookie year. Now, the reason why he cussed me out, because I was a part of scout team defense, and you already know when you're going against the legit starters on offense, they don't want you to touch the ball. I didn't understand that. They want you to give them a nice, real, legit look, but pull up when the pass get there. So I'm like, screw all this, man. I'm trying to let these people know I can play some ball. So, man, we try to give them a legit look for the week of that Sunday ball game. And, man, I remember I jumped on the curl route. I broke it up. So they kind of got fired up a little bit. B.A. didn't cuss me out then. So I remember Ray Orton was like, B-Mac, you got to let him catch the ball, B-Mac, right? You know how Coach Ray talk, right?
Yeah.
Like, man, come on, man, screw that, man. I'm trying to work on my craft. Let me work on my craft, right? B-Mac, let him catch the ball, okay? So the next time they ran an out route, I jumped on it, right?
Uh-huh.
Man, I broke it up again. B.A. say, who is it? That's 20, Coach. That's McFadden. Them Florida State, mother Alpha State, they know everything. Get them out of there. Give me another corner that's going to do what we want to do. I said, Coach, man, you want a real look, don't you? F all that. We don't want no real look. We want to look good. You're not making us look good now. F all that. Get his ass out of there.
Right.
They put me on the sideline, man. They kicked me out of Scott T practice, man.
Man, I'm going to tell you one thing I hate the most about that. I think that's why sometimes, and I used to say this all the time, well, you know, you see it on the sideline, like, why can't we give our offense a good look? When we on defense, they giving us a good look. They
man,
they
listen.
They trying to moss us.
Man, they not pulling up. Exactly. They're not pulling up on us. Anytime.
Every single time.
It's so one-sided, because listeners and viewers, we're talking about practice right now. And for us, when we're on the scout team defense, our job is to give Aaron Rodgers a look. Our job is to give Kyler Murray a look. Mm-hmm. So what they're going to see. But they tell us, let the receivers catch the football.
Right.
Like, if you got a chance to break, let them catch it. But when we're on defense, we're playing against a scout team wide receiver. Mm-mm. He's competing.
Right. He's literally fighting for a job, basically.
Man, he ain't laying up. He ain't giving up. He trying to go get it. He trying to stretch out. And I'd be like, man, it's so one-sided. Let them catch the ball. But when we're going against when we're in our period, they going full speed.
Yeah, I never got that, man. I was like, that's the only way we get better. That's how you'll be able to find out what plays work and what plays don't work.
Thank you. But I got cussed out like a dog because I was breaking up passes. I'm thinking that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to
compete. Exactly. So now you're going to be in the back of your head be like, all right, I might can't throw that out because it got batted down a couple of times in practice. So I got to be a little bit more strategic on how I want to throw that out route versus having it in the, you know, in your first 15 ready, your ready calls. And now it get picked off. It happened in practice. Did you expect?
Yeah. Yeah. But when you pull up, they actually think they got a legit shot on throwing that deep out. Hey, man, horror stories from Scout T, man. Only here on All Things Covered.
Yeah, he loved them deep outs, boy.
Oh, them deep outs? Oh, no question. Especially when he 3 yards away from that hash, give you that straight stem coming at you. Oh, that deep out is coming, man. Stay tuned. We're talking about deep outs, man. Listeners, viewers, make sure you stay tuned on our show. We got a special guest coming up who catches a lot of deep outs. Justin Jefferson will be joining us later in the show. Make sure you stay tuned right at the halftime. But talking about wide receivers and talking about speed, Pat P. Tyreek Hill.
Man, Carl, that man said, National Guard, get down here.
Man, listen, Tyreek Hill finished the day 13 receptions, 269 yards, 3 touchdowns. Heck, in the first quarter, he had 203 yards in the first quarter. And I know Todd Bowles is your guy. We all respect Todd Bowles as a play caller. But heck, whatever the game plan was, by the first quarter, I'm throwing out the window. Double number 10. We just ain't got it today. I'm just go ahead and lay it on the line. Coach, we ain't got it today. Wherever 10 is, cloud 10. We're going to put a defense in called, 3-4, cloud 10. Mm-hmm. Whatever, 3-4, we're going to run a 3-4 scheme. We're going to cloud 10. Man, this man had 200 yards, 203 yards in the first quarter. Lord have mercy.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think I ever seen that. Like, personally, I see T.Y. Hilton's on this list too with 147, Sammy Watkins with 151. Oh, that was last year. Ooh.
Yeah.
Sammy Watkins had 151 in the first quarter, and Lee Evans had in 2006, 205 in the first quarter. But I don't think I actually saw those games, but I saw that one last night.
Man, yesterday. Man.
Listen, I was like, ooh.
He got a different speed.
Yeah, man. But that ball that he put in there for the third one, on the fade, I'm like, man, how this man just drill that ball in there?
That was real good coverage by Carlton Davis.
It was. He put that thing right behind the DB ear, man. I was like, Jesus Christ.
And I'm gonna tell you this much, listeners, viewers, we're gonna keep it real here. As a defensive back, if you're ever in a game like that, the pride within us, we would never ask for help. We won't. We won't ask for help. It won't be like verbally to the sideline, coach, man, I need some help. We ain't going to verbally ask for help. But in our mind, you like, man, help me out a little bit. hey, you might, in your mind, you be like, hey, coach, man, give me something, man, with safety over the top. Man, you see him out here struggling? But we're not going to verbally say it. We got too much pride. We ain't come to the sideline and be like, man, coach, man, give me some help over the top. Give me a little cloud safety.
And the thing was, they had help over the top. On that one, he threw that seven. There was in two man.
It didn't matter. The safety didn't get enough whip.
It was in two man when he caught the seven route.
Listen, when you think you deep, you ain't deep enough when number 10 on the sideline, on your side. Man, you better get deep. I'm going to tell you what Mickey Andrews told a walk-on DB one time. He kept getting beat so much in practice. Lord have mercy. I felt bad for him. Cool Andrews told him, if you had a scholarship, I'd strip you of the scholarship, but you ain't got one. I can't strip you of anything because you just keep showing up. Coach Andrews said, if I told you not to show up, you still to show up. So I just got to deal with you. He said, this is what I want you to do. In one-on-one drills, Pat, the man just kept getting beat. Coach Andrews made him go 5 straight times against 5 different wide receivers, and he kept getting beat deep. So Coach Andrews said, this is what I want you to do, son. I want you to line up 15 yards off the wide receiver. 15 yards. He's like, coach, that's too deep. You said our depth supposed to be anywhere between 7 to 8 yards. He said, F all that. You won't do what I tell you to do anyway, so why you want to do it now? F all that. Listen to me. So he literally cussing at him, right? He said, I want you lying 15 yards off the man. I want you to face the opposite way. So instead of facing the wide receiver, Pat, his back is facing the wide receiver. He said, I want you to face this way and get in a track stand. What's your 40 stance? He said, my 40 stance. He said, you know what? You're right. You slow as molasses. You ain't got no 40 stance. Just stand straight up. So he said, when you hear a quarterback say, hot, I want you to sprint. He said, boy, if he beats you deep, if he still get behind you, I'm going to tell you this much right now. I want you to run to the top of Dope Campbell Stadium and jump off. If your parents call me, I'm going to say, I haven't seen you. You went missing. I don't know where he is. He's okay. Wherever he is, he's okay. If this man get behind you after being 15 yards off of him and you're facing the opposite way in a running sprint stance, mm-hmm. you don't deserve to ever be on our field anymore.
No doubt about it.
And he actually made him do it. He said, now call a play. So the offensive coach was like, what? He said, man, the receiver coach, he said, call a play and give him a go ball. Let me see if he can get behind him. Man, we was begging him, please don't let this man get behind him.
Please don't.
Long story short, the walk-on just kept running. He didn't stop until we called him back. So he said, coach, I did it. I ain't getting beat deep. He said, you know what? You didn't get beat deep. He said, can I go again? He said, no, you will never go again. It was in spring practice. He didn't let him go one rep the rest of spring throughout the rest of spring. Wow. Coach Andrews was hell, man.
I've been around Coach Andrew a couple of times, recruited me and going up there to those camps they had in the summertime for the high schoolers. So I've been around him a lot, you know, growing up from ninth grade to my senior year, man. I always ask Coach Andrew, like, man, what are you chewing on? Like, what is in your mouth? And it ain't nothing. He's just literally chewing on his inside of his cheeks.
Always chewing and ready to cuss you out. Ready to straight cuss you out, man. But that's the type of defense they should have played against Tyreek Hill, because, man, it was tough. It was tough. It was tough. Now, here are All Things Covered. We don't just talk football. We love talking other sports as well. There was a big sporting event that happened this past Saturday. It was a boxing event. Two legendary, iconic individuals jumped right back in the match, in the ring one more time. Roy Jones Jr., Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson looks real good. I mean, to be 54, man, he's in real good shape. He said he lost around 100 pounds for the fight. Roy Jones looked pretty good as well. He didn't look as good as Mike Tyson, but, you know, Roy, you know, did his thing. But leading up to that fight, the fight before the fight, Nate Robinson and what's the YouTube guy name? Jake Paul. Jake, I remember Antonio Brown and Jake Paul had a little social media feud at one point in time. If I'm not mistaken. But no, you don't want that fight. But unfortunately for Nate Robinson, it didn't go as planned. And me personally, listeners, viewers, I watched the fight. I know Pat tuned into the fight. I saw you tweeted at it. And the issue that I had with the fight was Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg, number one, I think Snoop should be required to commentate.
Uncle Snoop.
Yeah, he should be required to commentate more boxing events or just more sporting events anyway. But Snoop did something to me, man, because I didn't want to laugh at Nate, and I felt like, you know, it's tough to really get into that arena, not being a professional, to try to do that on a national stage. But Snoop, man, number one, me and you talked about this, and we both love boxing as well. You said something very, very critical earlier before we actually started recording. You said they should have called the fight when Nate got hit behind the ear.
Yeah.
They should have called it then, and I agree with you. Because you remember when the referee said, give me your hand. Nate didn't want to give him his hand because he kept holding the back of that head, right?
Man, the ref was already on 13 seconds when he asked him that.
He was still holding his hand. I thought literally if they don't do what you asked them to do, he's supposed to call it up because clearly they're not really focused or dialed in.
Man, that was a charity event. We saw enough.
But yeah, in a charity event, you're not supposed to go to sleep like that.
That's exactly.
You're not supposed to get put to sleep for real.
Hey, you ain't lying. And I wasn't laughing at Nate by any stretch of imagination. I really wasn't. It was Snoop Dogg.
Man, Snoop had me.
Snoop had me crying, laughing because just the things he was saying, it was almost like, I don't know. It was almost like a, what'd you call it? Like a roast, mm-hmm. roast. thing. And it was just him commentating what made me laugh for the most part. But, man, big shout out though to Nate for even taking that fight and taking the opportunity, because I know I wouldn't have done it. Dang, there's no way they could have gave me headgear, a helmet. I'm not getting to know what a professional boxer is.
So do you think, should Nate continue boxing?
Honestly, if Nate care about his well-being, that would have been my last fight if I was him. Obviously, I know everybody don't want to go out like that, but like everybody say all the time, Terrence Crawford said it best, you can't play boxing.
You don't have this mentality. You don't just wake up in the morning and say, I want to start boxing exactly. And fight for real and professionally.
Right. And at the end of the day, if Nate do it again, he have to fight somebody that's in his class. I know they was the same weight wise, but athletes are heavier than fighters.
And Nate fight 5'9", you fighting a guy who's six footer, the reach.
Yeah, 4-inch reach on him. Like Nate had no opportunity. He had no real legitimate opportunity of really touching Jake because Jake obviously is a boxer. That's what he do. He turned professional, knocked the guy out in his first, a professional boxer out in his first bout. So I knew Nate was going to have trouble because I knew, and I never even seen Nate spar or fight, but I saw Jake fight and I was like, hell, that's going to be good enough to beat somebody who's just stepping in the ring for the first time.
Man, you don't step in the ring for the first time against someone who already fought professionally. Man, you might
knock somebody out. I think he knocked him out in the second round.
That ain't the type of game you want to play around with, man. That can put you in the on a funeral brochure.
Going back to what, like I said, I thought they should have called the first knockout, but third one, though, man, when he was on that ground, bro, I was like,
Snoop said, "Oh Lord, somebody help him,"
because I thought the man. I thought he was done, man. I ain't gonna lie, because that was a devastating blow, man.
No question. I mean,
it's a devastating blow.
None of us are in a position to tell someone what they should or shouldn't do, but if you decide to do that, make sure you're ready and make sure, like you said, Pat, you go against someone who's kind of on the same level. You know what I mean? Let that be their first fight as well. You know what I mean? So now the playing field is even to some degree, but, you know, that's a tough profession to be involved in if you're not there yet, you know what I mean? So, you know, hopefully he's able to, you know, if you want to continue, then hopefully he goes against someone who's has the same amount of experience, I'll say, that he has. Because
the proof is in the pudding, man. Boxing can really mess you up mentally.
And a lot of people think, like, because you've been in a lot of fights, you can box. No, boxing is tiring. Yeah, it's you got to be in shape to box.
Right. And you know most people that fight on the street, it's the only 5 minutes.
if that, it might get a minute, 30 seconds, minute, 45 seconds, depending on where you at.
And now, you know, then,
somebody break it up.
Exactly. Ain't no more one-on-ones nowadays. It's no question. Jumping or somebody shooting somebody.
Man, you out there throwing blows, man. You're going to be blowed after the 10th swing. And then you might want to lock up. Somebody won't try to wrestle you and get up underneath you. Now you're using the energy trying to get out of that scoop position. And now you're trying to scoop them. Uh-huh. And now, man, please, that boxing is totally different, but it was entertaining. Ladies and gentlemen, halftime for us right now. But on the other side of halftime, we got an outstanding guy joining us here on the show. All things covered, Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden, Justin Jefferson will be joining us here. Yes, sir. Two-step, the gritty.
That's what they do.
The gritty. You're going to be talking about the gritty and a lot of other things coming up right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Yo, yo, yo. What up, All Thing Covered listeners? We got a standout guest here today, one of my LSU Tigers, Justin Jefferson, a standout rookie for the Minnesota Vikings. In the game Sunday, they had a win over the Panthers, and Justin had an amazing game, had 7 receptions for 70 yards, 2 TDs. On the season, my man is balling, which is no surprise. We had an opportunity to talk a little bit earlier on the year. He got 52 catches and 918 yards with 6 TDs.
Almost a G-ball already.
Yeah, 2020.
Almost a G-ball.
2020 first round draft pick, and I cannot let this go. A 2019 college champ. My guy, he's on all social media, Jay Jetta 2. What's happening, Justin?
What's up, Justin?
What's
Appreciate you joining us here on All Things Covered. But before we get into your professional career, man, how do you go from a 2 or 3 star recruit 2017 to now in 2020 becoming one of the best up and coming wide receivers in the National Football League? Clearly right now you're the best rookie wide receiver in the National Football League. Man, how did that happen? Tell us about that.
Just trusting the process, going to LSU at a small weight, not being that top receiver in the SEC, you know, I just had to really just be patient with myself. I knew that I wasn't going to come in and be that star receiver yet. So I had to put in that work. I had to go to the weight room and drink protein, get extra lifts in. So, you know, throughout the whole process, just being that coachable player and just learning things and just learning new ways to help my game.
Outside of LSU, Justin, I saw you had Nicholls State and Tulane, and I think the biggest school was Northwestern, right? So tell us a little bit about that process, because, you know, Nicholls State, Tulane, Northwestern, and then of course LSU came, you know, knocking on your door. But did you feel any disrespect when you didn't have the big name universities chasing you like some of your other teammates probably had?
Not much disrespect, but, you know, it's just lack of confidence. You know, when you don't have those big schools chasing after you, like you see on Twitter, with some of the big receivers, you know, you just think that you cannot play on that type of level. You think that, you know, somewhere in your game that, it's not good enough that coaches can go looking for you. So just having that in the back of my mind really made me play better. Having that chip on my shoulder, just people doubting me. I mean, all of that just plays a part in going out there on Sundays and then balling out.
Man, I had the opportunity to watch, like I said in the introduction, I had the opportunity to watch Justin grow literally since he was 11 years old. And I can just remember him just being outside of the W That's where all the athletes stayed and stuff. After every game, him and my brother out there throwing footballs, running back. And I'll never forget, they used to always say, man, we coming out. And they both end up going to LSU.
Yeah.
We're going to go to LSU and dominate, you know what I mean, be on the same level that you and Jordan on. Right. You know what I mean? So it's really a real pleasure to see how you have grown and where you are right now in your career. But tell me this. How did it feel hearing your name in the same sentence as Randy Moss?
It's been crazy. It's something that I you really cannot imagine, especially as a rookie. And then with everything going on with COVID, not being able to have preseason, you know, all of that plays a part in NFL. And me just going straight into regular season and not having any experience with NFL, and then on the third game of the season, just go out and have 175 yards. So it's been crazy. It's been unrealistic. So I'm definitely grateful to be in this position and playing for my family.
But what I wanted to ask you was about give these, I guess, these young players, or not even the young players, the viewers, a little bit of insight on what's your mentality as a rookie. Because like you said, you didn't have an offseason. You didn't have, you know, training camp. Well, you had training camp. You didn't have preseason. You had to literally get right into it. And you're literally – you're at right where you left off in college. So give us a little bit of insight on your mentality. How was it going into the league? Like you said, you didn't have no offseason, but how did you approach the game knowing that you didn't have no preseason, knowing that you didn't have the chemistry down with your quarterback? Give us a little bit of insight on that.
Well, first of all of that really started from being not winning the Biletnikoff. That was the first thing that I wanted to do. Win Biletnikoff. I didn't get first team All-American, didn't get second team All-American. I just been doubted all of my career. And, you know, going into the NFL, being picked fifth receiver, you know, all of that plays a part. And, I just want to go out there and just show people that I'm the best, out there. So, just putting in the extra work, you know, staying after practice with Kirk and getting extra throws in. You know, all of that, you have to build that connection with that quarterback. So, you know, me doing that has built our connection tremendously. You know, I just try to go every game and just try to be the best player that I can be. Just not letting cornerbacks speed me up and play me out my game. So I just been playing my own.
Hey, Justin, as a corner, I'm going to tell you what you do very, very well. And young receivers are not good at this. You do a great job of stacking the DB. You do an awesome job stacking the DB. I was watching the game. I believe you guys was playing Green Bay. Cause who you guys played that two games ago? Like Green Bay, right? It was on TV. I know that for sure.
We played Chicago. Was it Chicago?
Yeah. It was Chicago. Yeah. And not the one that you made my man fall. And we all been, as a DB, we all been in that situation.
Hey, don't get on your heels.
Right. Can't get on your heels. But don't get on your heels. In that one, I think he was at a slot. At the slot receiver, and you acting like you was gonna run like the corner, but you stacked him enough and you gave him like that head fake outside.
Yeah.
You ran like the dig. I was like, man, only not many, and Judy does a great job of stacking receivers as well. But like where did that come from? Obviously, you know, you hear people all the time talking about stack the DB, but most guys don't really take that into the game. Do you feel that's one of your advantages that you have on DBs, and not only DBs, but younger receivers in the game right now?
Yeah, and having a coach like Coach Jerry Sullivan, you know.
My God.
He helped me tremendously. You know, we've seen plenty of tapes of Larry at practice. We've seen plenty of tapes of different guys that he coached throughout the years. So, you know, when he started coaching me my freshman year of college, I just took that always in consideration as, you know, I got to be perfect with my technique. You know, my technique wins battles. So, just being out there on the field, just like I said, just being in my own zone, not letting people speed me up, not letting, you know, my routes get sloppy. So, you know, all of that just plays a part in my head, and I just go out there and just ball.
And speaking of your techniques and your routes, man, I love watching you run routes. And I'm a former DB, and I usually don't like seeing wide receivers run routes because I'm biased. Always want to see them get touched up a little bit. But you have an unorthodox style when it comes to route running. It reminds me a little bit of, you know, how Le'Veon Bell changed the game with his running style. And Pat, when I watch Justin play, I'm going to throw out a name that he reminds me of when you look at his route running, and you're going to be like, wow. And I know you have a lot of respect for this guy, Stevie Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Hey, Stevie Johnson had some AI in his game, like basketball. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So when I watch Justin run his routes, man, it's like he's floating. It's a kind of slow motion style, and he's like crossing you up. And you ran a pivot route this past weekend in the red zone. Man, the DB didn't have a chance, man. Tell us a little bit about your style when it comes to running routes, because it's not the normal style that we see from most wide receivers. Where did you come up with that? Did someone instill that into your game? Or this something that you kind of created on the fly?
It's funny that you say that, because I do look at one-on-ones like basketball crossovers. So, you know, you're just trying to win your one-on-one battle. Like it's an ISO game. Everybody out the way. It's just you and one player, and you're just trying to get to the goal. So I just try to keep that same mindset. Is I'm just trying to do a crossover, just trying to get past them and then win on my route. So doing all of that just helps me, you know, get open, get to that where I need to get on the field and you know, make that catch.
Well, you're doing a great job at it. I can tell you that much. I wouldn't want to cover you, but I love watching you run routes though.
100%. Hey, so Justin, we haven't had a rookie of the year, receiver rookie of the year since 2014, and that was our guy as well.
Yeah.
OBJ. It only happened 3 times in this century. So I guess plead your case on why you feel that, you know, we at that time of the season right now, going into week 12, why you feel that you should be NFL rookie of the year.
None of the rookies are putting up the stats that I'm putting up right now. I mean, just look at the circumstances with everything going on. You know, starting my first game, I come up with 175 yards with 2 TDs against, you know, one of the top teams in the NFL right now. So, you know, I just been, you know, doing my own little thing, just, you know, setting records, doing my own ditty. So, I'm just trying to prove to the world that, you know, I am one of the top players, and that I should be the rookie of the year.
You heard it here first. He's him.
No question. No question. You talk about proving to the world, Justin, man. You talked about coming up out of high school, kind of getting overlooked. You had an outstanding career at LSU. I think you had 18 receiving touchdowns. You didn't even make all SEC first team, which is mind boggling for me.
Right.
And then leading up to the draft, right? Was a part of a historical great offensive unit in college football. LSU won the championship. You had a lot to do with that title. Leading up to the draft, you know, people were all throwing your name in the first round category, but you were the 5th wide receiver to come off the board. And I think the team before Minnesota, I think it was Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And Philadelphia, they had the nerve to take a wide receiver, but it wasn't you. So, I know my process. When I got drafted in the 2nd round, and I felt some type of way. I think the only person that's on this call right now was happy with where they got drafted is Pat Pete. You know what I'm saying? And I tell people this all the time. When it comes to getting drafted, there are probably only 3 or 4 guys that's going to be happy where they got drafted because they went extremely high. Everybody else going to feel like they should have gone higher. But personally, do you feel like you should have gone higher than being the 5th wide receiver to come off the board? And does that add more fuel to your fire every Sunday when you step on the field right now?
Yeah, I mean, as you look at it, you know, I came, as you look at the tape at my steps, you know, I had 1,500 yards, I had 18 touchdowns, and I had over 100 receptions. So, I mean, I didn't really understand why I was the 5th receiver taken. And then I came out at the combine and ran a 4.43.
Yes, sir.
I didn't understand it. So I just took that in consideration and say, like, all right, that's cool. Y'all go take that receiver. I'm going to make y'all pay for taking that receiver. And so, you know, I just had that mindset every single week. And every time I go up against, you know, a top corner, I try to show that, you know, I can beat this guy. I can show y'all that, you know, I'm the top receiver too.
And speaking of, you just said that very, you know, mild man. I only had 100. What, you had like 130, right?
Catches 111, yeah.
Because you at one point you had, did Jamar end up passing you in the playoffs? Because I knew you guys were like 1 and 2 as far as reception.
I have the most receptions. I think he only had like 89 or something like that.
Okay.
So yeah, I had the most receptions.
Heck, he probably had 30 receptions against Oklahoma just in the first half. he had 4 touchdowns in the first half, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I remember that game.
And speaking of Jamar, you know who Jamar reminds me of, though? He reminds me a lot of DeAndre Hopkins on cars, being able to catch the ball aggressively off of DBs. But he also reminded me a little bit of DK Metcalf on the strength that he has
as far as
breaking tackles and being able to, you know, have that aggression on getting the ball in the end zone. But speaking of our former LSU Tigers, they're going to be going into the draft this year. Give us a little insight on Jamar and Terrence Marshall.
Those are my brothers right here, bro. You know, I had great times with them. I practiced throughout the game. And, I mean, we had a legendary career, season last year. So, you know, those guys are tremendous players, ball players that definitely can play on Sundays. I'm just excited to see them grow up as well. You know, I was at LSU before they were, so I got to really see them grow as players and really just change positions like I did, you know, to get to the outside and then go to the slot. So I'm kind of excited to see what they got going on when they get to the NFL.
And talking about, you know, Chase and Jefferson, those guys, you guys did something that we might not ever see a trio of guys do again. But outside of catching passes and scoring touchdowns, I mean, you guys, specifically you, right, Justin, made the gritty a phenomenon. Now, people are doing the gritty all across the country, probably all across the globe. Whenever they score a touchdown or do something great, they're trying to do the gritty. Tell us a little bit about that special celebration and how you just took it and made it a national hit.
Well, it all started off us being at LSU. You know, all of us are most likely from Louisiana, so we all love to dance, love to show our character.
they do.
But we know this guy from New Orleans. His nickname is Gritty, and he had posted this dance that he had did randomly, and we all saw it, and you know, it had that New Orleans culture to it. So we all started doing it in the locker room, started you know, just playing with it, and I decided that I wanted to do it for my touchdown dance in college. But you know, normally you don't really dance in college.
Exactly.
Dance, you get a flag. So with the Texas game, I did it, and they didn't give me any flag for it. So I was like, I bet. Keep doing it.
You kept doing it.
And that Texas game was on national TV too. It was a night game.
Yeah. That was a
high scoring game. I've been watching that one. Yeah. Question for you. Well, not a question, Justin, one request. Now, I saw early in the year Adam Thielen tried to do it. I mean, he didn't really have it. The rhythm was all the way off, but he tried. When you score this upcoming week, is it possible for you to get Kirk Cousins involved in the gritty? Can you attempt to make that happen for us?
I can try, but you know, Kirk is a guy that likes to be laid back, especially with the dance moves, but I definitely would try to
try to get Kirk Cousins. Hopefully you guys get an opportunity to get on the grass. I know the facilities were closed, will be closed Monday and Tuesday, but if you get a chance to get on the grass, whisper in his ear, say, Kirk, when I make this big play, I need you to come do the gritty with me. Just try.
All right. I got you. I'm going to get it done for you.
There we have it. We're going to be tuning in.
No doubt about it. So just before we let you go, we got a couple more questions for you, but I got to ask you about opting out far as the college players.
Yeah.
Do you feel like if you knew the status that you had, because it can be tricky, like you just talked about, obviously you had everything that you've done your last year to be able to thought that you did everything possible to get drafted high. Do you think that would have been a consideration in your mind if you was back in school of opting out, knowing what you know now, you know what I mean? What you did that year really didn't, it matters, but it didn't matter because you still got to fall to the right spot. But opting out, talk to us a little bit about opting out, you know, these kids opting out of, you know, to play football.
I was talking to Jamar and everything before he had opted out. And, you know, I kind of feel like it can go both ways, to be honest. You know, you want to save your career. You know, of course, LSU is not doing, you know, what they expected to do, but you know, there's a risk of getting injured, risk of, you know, not having a season that you wanted to have. So there's a lot of things that can go to it, but also you can look at it as, you know, playing for your teammates, playing for your brothers, and, you know, just being part of the program. But I mean, I felt like, you know, people opting out, that's their own decision, whatever they feel that they need to do. And, you know, it's nothing wrong with preparing yourself for the NFL earlier than, you know, with everything going on right now.
Which corner has been your toughest matchups this season so far? And is there a corner you're looking forward to going against at some point in time in your professional career?
Kyle Fuller was a little tough. You know, he plays the zone very, very good.
His eyes are crazy.
He likes the design. Think you doing something else. Yeah, he'll be right there on you. So, him was definitely, one of the best corners that I went up against. Malcolm Butler was good also, but I'm definitely looking to go up against Pat. I was hoping we were seeing each other this year, but, definitely looking up and going against him as many times as I've seen the LSU games and his rookie season at the Cardinals. So definitely want to go up against him.
Hey, Pat, you feeling kind of old right now? Cause you remember you said you was around Justin when he was 11.
Yeah, man.
Think about that.
Yeah, that was 10 years ago, man. That's crazy.
Hey, but I'll never forget when I came to, I think it was going into your last year. Remember I came out there, I was working out with the DBs.
Yeah.
And just got another. I don't know if you remember this.
Yeah,
I remember.
I know what you're about to
say. He was like, come down here and get some of this work. I was like, man, I'm working out with young boys right now, man.
Oh, Pat, he called you out, Pat?
Him and Jamar, man, they called me out, man. I felt bad. I was like, I got to go out here and show these young puppies a little something.
You showed them a little something?
Yeah, I was busy trying to give a man Stingley.
He was getting them right. He was getting them right.
Yeah. Hey, Justin, better duo in Minnesota. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson.
Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson.
Tell me why?
You know, I'm a rookie, but, you know, I have the mindset of a veteran. You know, I just try to take every game like the same and just try to be consistent. I feel like that's one of the hardest things, especially as a rookie. Is, you know, being consistent and having those high yard games, you know, week in and week out, and, you know, just having defenses really disguise their game around you. You know, that's crazy. Last game was the first time I seen a robber, you know, having a nickel compress and having a corner in the back. That was the first time I seen that in a hot minute. And, you know, seeing that, you know, it shows me confidence as well. Just showing that, you know, a defense have to do that in order to really lock me down.
Man, and you definitely will go on. You're going to draw a lot more double teams over your career. But I will have to tell you this, Justin, remain the same. Don't let, you know, the fame and all that stuff that come with the game. Stay true to yourself. You know what I mean? Cause, you know, me and Mac, we've been in this league for a very long time. We've seen a lot of guys come and go, but at the same time, I know you got the mentality to stay on this level and continue to produce at a high level. But man, stay true to yourself, Justin, man. Me and my man Mac, we appreciate you coming on All Things Covered.
Hey Pat, don't forget the great ones don't have an off season.
No, and he know that. Yeah. And I see him around all the time.
Hey, he'd have been around ball his whole life, so his whole family went to LSU.
Exactly.
They might as well name a building after the Jeffersons. They got it's about 17 of them went to LSU.
You're talking about the Ball family. You talk about
the Jeffersons, man. It's about 17 of them went through LSU campus.
Okay, man. And I will tell you this, Matt, man. Mommy Elena made one of the best cheesecakes, I've ever had in my life.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
They just came up here and made the Thanksgiving meal. I had a home cooked meal, man.
I got to check this, man.
Hey, Justin, did she make that cheesecake for you?
She didn't make it this time, man.
That boy sounds disappointed.
Hey, I'm telling you, Mac, every time they came up to a game, Mommy Lena had us a cheesecake.
Yeah.
And it was bomb. So I gotta hit up there and hit Mommy Elaine. She got to send me. She got to put one on some dry ice and send it to you.
Oh, Pat, you like yours with the ice cream?
No, no doubt about it, but she got to put on the dry ice so it can stay cold while it's in the
shelter. Yeah. Facts.
All right, Justin, man. We appreciate it, man. All Things Covered. My man, Justin Jefferson, a standout rookie for the Minnesota Vikings. And, we looking for more success out of you, man.
Hey, don't forget, we looking for Kirk Cousins. When you score this weekend, we looking for Kirk Cousins to attempt.
I'll tell him as soon as we get in the building.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, baby. Thanks again, Justin. And thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of All Things Covered. If you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe and leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back with you next Tuesday, where you can expect all things will be covered. Peace.
Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.